It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Or you can send in your questions on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. And our guest this morning is the beat reporter for WFN. Of course, a contributor to all things New York football Giants. That is Paul Dottino. Paulie, what's up, buddy?
Hey, John. Good to talk to you this morning. You know, it's funny, with all this NCAA stuff that's been going on the last couple of weeks, everybody's so basketballed out. It is great to talk football once again. You know, it's only a few weeks away when this NFL draft is going to be upon us, and we're going to be all footballed out, and I just can't wait for it.
You can't get footballed out, Paul. We know that. It's impossible.
Well, you know what's funny? The other day, I popped in some of my Giants stuff from this past season. I was reviewing some of the tapes and so forth, and you know, there are things here that this team has done that a lot of people are going to say go under the radar. A lot of the minimum guys, a lot of the veterans who they brought in. It's the most active Jerry Reese has been since he became Giants GM. The Giants have signed 11 veteran free agents. I don't know how many people are keeping track of this stuff. Giants.com has a list, as you know, of ins and outs.
And Mike Patterson, by the way, got signed yesterday.
Right. So that brings the total to 11 veteran free agents that Jerry Reese has brought in during this offseason, which is his personal record. Now, what I was trying to do, and I'm going through all my notes, and I still haven't completed it yet, is to see if that is indeed a Giants record, not just a Jerry Reese record. I don't believe Ernie Accorsi brought in more than that during any one of his years as the GM, but I'm still checking on it. And then George Young, of course, too, going way back when to 79. By the time I come here again in a couple of weeks, I'm sure I'll have that down. My point is this. The Giants have been very, very, very active in free agency, despite the fact that they haven't necessarily brought in any big fish.
Well, and to me, the reason for it is that the market was so down this year from a free agency standpoint. Everyone, to me, is getting maybe even below what market value is for a lot of these guys because the salary cap didn't go up. Salaries have been depressed in general over the course of this offseason. So the Giants have brought in a lot of these guys, and you call them veteran free agents, but they're young veterans. They're guys that are 27, guys that are 28, guys that are still in the prime of their career. Look, Cullen Jenkins a little bit older,
yeah.
Patterson a little bit older,
yeah.
But Dan Connor, prime of his career, young veteran, only been in the league 4 or 5 seasons. For a kicker, Josh Brown is still pretty much in the prime of his career. It is
yeah, kickers can kick to the 50.
Exactly. So he's still in good shape there. Ryan Terrain, even though he had some injury issues, he's still a young guy in the prime of his career. Brandon Myers, a young veteran in the prime of his career. So they've managed to bring in some guys here in that good age range where these guys can still be effective players. And you're not bringing guys that are quote-unquote over the hill.
No, that's not the question here. I think the question with what the Giants have done is a chemistry issue because they had a lot of holes to fill. Last year, by the end of the season, I think the number was something like 25 or 28 guys were unsigned going into this offseason. You and I both knew they were going to have a lot of work to do. There were going to be a lot of holes that had to be plugged with bodies, warm, breathing bodies.
Well, I hope they're breathing.
You know? And Jerry Reese has done a good job in filling up a lot of these holes with guys, as you say, that are still able to play. You know, you plug in a lot of these older fellas, and you never know if they're even going to be available to play on the field because they're always going to be hurt. So, yeah, I give them a lot of credit for that. But the downside to all of this is that that locker room has undergone a lot of churn. A lot of churn. I mean, and there's been some big plays and OC gone, some leadership and Chris Canty gone. there are definitely some chemistry issues that are going to need to be worked out during the offseason. The mini camp, the OTAs are going to be critical for this team as they convene and try to get to know each other.
I'm going to argue that's
and
a good
Albany.
Thing. I'm going to argue, well, no Albany this year.
Well,
by the way.
That's right. It's Tynex now.
Exactly. I'm going to argue that's a good thing. Because here's how the way I look at it, Paul. You go over the last 3-4 years. Do you know what this Giant team is? They're a 9-7 football team.
Okay.
Is that good compared to a lot of other NFL teams over the past 4 years? Sure it is. But is it to the level of some of the better teams in the NFL, like the New England Patriots, the Baltimore Ravens, things of that nature? Probably not. You would like this team, in my opinion, to take a step forward this year, past that team that flirts at 500, that some weeks is very good, other weeks are very bad. Look, this has been an inconsistent football team. There's one word for the last 3 or 4 years of this Giants organization, Paul. 2012, 2011, 2010, even 2009. What's the one word you use to describe this team? Inconsistent. So maybe you do need a lot of new guys in that locker room to change the culture a little bit, to get a little bit more consistent football. So you're not playing with fire every year, trying to win that 9th or 10th game in week 15, 16, and 17 to backdoor your way into the playoffs.
Yeah, I see the point, John. And I'm not necessarily saying that it is a negative that so many new guys have been brought in. What I'm saying is it's something that needs to be watched because right. these guys will have to come together and understand that, hey, you know what? We may be a lot of new pieces, but we got to make it work.
From what I can tell, most of these guys should be good locker room guys. I had a chance to talk to Cullen Jenkins, veteran,
right.
knows his stuff, been around the league. Josh Brown, obviously kicker, you're not worried about that. Dan Connor, a good locker room guy. He's a guy that people have spoken very highly of around
I
the
have
league.
Heard a lot of that.
Brandon Myers, a quiet kid from Iowa that goes about his business. Very Kevin Boss-like in his personality, from what I understand.
Yeah, a little bit different than the guy who was here last year. A
little bit. So I don't think any of these guys are going to make waves. And I think what they've done, the Giants have addressed enough needs. And we're going to get to your calls in just a second. Now you're on hold. One more point from Paul, then we're going to get to you. 201-939-4513. They've managed to fill, I think, enough holes over the past 3, 4, 5 weeks where now when they head into the draft, 3 weeks from today, by the way, I don't think they're in a desperate situation anywhere on this roster, anywhere, where you say, in the first round, you have to get this. I need a starter.
Jerry
Reese
won't do that anyway.
I know he won't. But it's good that you're not in that position from a talent standpoint where this team, with the exception perhaps of Sam linebacker, if you move Mathias Kiwanuka to defensive end permanently, you pretty much have a starter at every position and someone at that position that started for you last year. So I think you're pretty secure for the most part in most of your spots on this roster. That, of course, is assuming Victor Cruz comes back.
And the second part of your statement in terms of guys who started there last year, that would allow you to plug Deal in at right tackle.
Right.
I still believe that that's a huge hole and a need for an upgrade.
But you have a young guy that you hope can provide an upgrade if James Brewer can win that job in the offseason.
Personally, if it were me, I don't necessarily know that I'd go that way. If I could find an upgrade, I would definitely try to do so.
You give him a shot, at the very least.
Perhaps.
Make him earn it. I'm not saying hand him the job.
Right.
That's not how things work around here.
No, you have to earn your snaps.
Yes.
That's one thing about Tom Coughlin. He doesn't give them away for nothing.
And look, I'm not saying if the right guy's there at 19, the Giants don't take an offensive tackle in the first round. I think that's a possibility. But the way this draft plays out, I think you have a chance even in the second round to find the guy at offensive tackle. You
could
might
be
able to start, maybe not in week one, but maybe by week 5 or 6, you might be able to plug him in there.
Could be. I think the most important thing about what you said, John, with all these folks coming in, is that the average age of these guys is on the younger side, which is a good thing given the fact that they need durability. The last thing in the world the Giants wanted to do was bring in a whole bunch of guys to fill up these roster spots and then find out that these guys are constantly going to be hurt in the trainer's room, having to go to IR, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because you don't have enough depth these days to be able to do that. You can't weather those storms. We've seen the Giants have a ton of injuries in the last few years, and that's part of the reason why they've struggled to be 9-7 in some of these seasons as well. So, yes, they didn't go out and sign a bunch of old, broken-down veterans who are going to be limping around here every other day, and you're going to have to worry about their availability on Sunday. I think that's very, very important to what Jerry did. But at the same time, John, this team is going to go into the draft looking at that whole best athlete available thing, looking at linebacker, looking at offensive line, maybe looking at corner again. I mean, you know.
Maybe defensive end.
Maybe even defensive end. Those are the positions they got to at least have an eye on. Whether or not they go there, that's going to depend on who's on the board.
Right.
But they got to be thinking about those positions as potential fortification points.
And even with all these additions, I don't think defensive tackle's off the board either, to be honest with you. I think there are enough guys that are talented there in the first two rounds where I don't think all these guys the Giants have brought in. You know, Jenkins is on the older side. Sean Rogers on the older side. Kuhn coming off a knee. Patterson only played a couple games last year coming off that brain surgery he had last summer. And then, of course, really the only sure thing you have is Linval Joseph. So
yeah.
I don't think a tackle is necessarily out of – and Marvin Austin, of course, too, with the Giants hope they finally get something out of this
right.
year.
Agreed.
I don't think a defensive tackle is completely off the board.
No.
But I think that the possibility is smaller now than it was 3 weeks ago.
Agreed, because they've added to the numbers.
Let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513. They're all filled up. If you're getting a busy signal calling in as you go through the call, as lines will open, we'll get you in. Let's start out with Alex in Hoboken. Alex, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Alex. What's up?
All right, all right. Hey, man, I just had a couple questions. What do you think we're going to do about the linebacker position?
Well, I think you're probably going to try to add somebody in the draft, to be honest with you. And if you can't get somebody early in the draft, rounds one or two, Alex, I think you'll go back to free agency after the draft is over, try to find somebody on the cheap, a guy like Dan Connor, to come in and play that Sam linebacker spot.
Yeah, definitely. Dan Connor seems like a good fit for us, man. I hope, you know, he comes to play and he brings the defense, you know, some fearness. And that'd be pretty awesome.
All right, Alex, appreciate the call, pal.
Definitely. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. What do you think the Giants are going to do with Sam linebacker? I know technically Jaquan Williams played Sam last year, and that's the coverage linebacker in Prairie Fuel system. But I'm talking about the non-coverage guy. You know, Jaquan Williams is probably going to – he has the leg up to start as the coverage linebacker. Who's going to start on that other side where you got to stop the run, you got to be physical at the line of scrimmage, you got to be very physical, the spot that Kiwanuka played last year, assuming once again that he's going to go to defensive end to kind of give support where OC has left a bit of a void?
Why did you cross your fingers and hope that Keith Rivers can stay on the field? Because, John?
I don't think I have long enough fingers.
Well, you may have to try, at least for the time being, because...
Why would anybody think he could do that?
He had the best training camp of any defensive player on this team last year.
And, you know, I was
and
high
on it. And a sensational preseason.
And you know that.
Sensational.
I loved what I saw from Keith Rivers. But eventually, fool me once, shame on you.
Okay.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
The Giants re-signed him. They brought him back. They gave him a contract. He put his Hancock on the dotted line and said, yeah, we're going to do this.
Fine, but what's your backup plan?
You got to get somebody.
Right.
There's no question. You got to get somebody. But I think the hope is, and the reason that Keith Rivers was brought back here, was to compete for the job. And if he can stay on the field, there's no doubt in my mind, if Keith Rivers can stay on the field,
he can play.
He starts.
I agree. I don't disagree with that.
That's a big if.
What happens when he pulls his hamstring in week two?
That's a big if.
Right.
I'm not going to say otherwise. But the fact is, he's on the team, he's on the roster, and he will be given every opportunity to win that job. And
right.
I believe that he's talented enough to win the job, regardless of who they put out there. He's going to win that job. He's got enough tools to do it. I've seen it. What happens is he does tend to get hurt, and then you got to worry about, well, now who do we plug in? That's where the issue comes in. There's no question about that, John. So, yeah, they're going to draft at least one linebacker, maybe two.
How early? Are we going to get a linebacker in rounds one or two?
Well, I think a lot depends on who the impact guys are on the board at that point.
Manti Te'o, right? That's who you want?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
See, now I'm not as down on him as you are.
That's okay. You don't have to be.
Because I think all
there are people. There are people around the league who are more down on him than I am.
Oh, well, there's a lot of people that are high on him too.
There are.
To
there are.
Me, and I know your primary worry is the off the field stuff. You don't want to deal with the nonsense. And
actually,
I get that.
I'm going to tell you something else. I talked to two personnel guys in the last 2 weeks. Told me he will not hold up against a power running game. And what do you usually have here in this division?
Well, you have to put big linemen in front of him at a defensive tackle to give him room to move. To me, he's like, to me, if you want to put out a blueprint of what his NFL career could be, I think you look at Brian Urlacher in that type of player that can move around, he can run, but once guys get his hands on him, he's no longer an effective linebacker stopping the run.
Yeah, I don't see him becoming a physical force. I don't see him shedding blocks.
No.
You know, when those offensive linemen or tight ends even get to the second level, Matt DeTeo is not going to help you.
Teo is a run and chase guy. That's what he is.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't want him here.
Fair enough. If that's your reason as an on-the-field reason, I'll buy that. I think the off-the-field stuff will be blow over and be gone in 2 weeks.
The off-the-field stuff is something that, you know, we discussed long before the combine and his pro day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm getting into X's and O's now. I don't think that guy's a good fit for the Giants.
Okay, that's fair. And they don't have those prototypical gigantic defensive tackles either. Jenkins isn't one of those guys.
No.
Joseph can occupy a couple blockers.
Well, Rodgers is, well, but you don't even know how much he's going to play.
You can't depend on him.
No, so. You can't.
201-939-4513. Back to the phone. Let's say hi to Frank in New York City. Frank, what's up, pal?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Hey, I love what Reese did so far in the offseason. I mean, like you said, very under-the-radar moves, filled in some depth, got some quality guys. But, Paul, you said it before. Who do you think is going to be that emotional leader in the locker room?
Paul DeTino.
Bradshaw, Jacobs is gone. Who do you see taking that role and, you know, firing this team up when, you know, we may lose two in a row or we're down by two touchdowns? Who do you see taking that lead in the locker room?
Well, we already know that on defense, Antrell Roll has done that for a little bit now, and I think he will continue to do that. I would not be surprised if perhaps the players vote him as a co-captain this year. I think that could happen.
And I think he deserves it, to be honest.
Okay. We agree there, John. But on the offensive side of the ball.
Will Beatty?
You need to know where John's coming from with that inside joke. Will is a very soft-spoken fellow who is the last one in the world to fire anybody up in the huddle.
I was trying to find the least likely guy in offense.
That's pretty good.
He's the guy I came up with.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
you.
Pretty good. Chris Snee might be he's pretty quiet, too, when it comes down to it. I just don't see it, and that's a problem. You see, Bradshaw was a bit of a yapper. We know Jacobs could yap. I don't see the fire plug, the emotional leader.
Nick Cruz and Randall are all quiet.
No.
David Wilson's a nice kid. He's a quiet kid.
They're not going to do it.
Maybe Andre Brown at times can get a little feisty. But you know what? Though, think of it this way. I know I say David Wilson is a quiet kid. Remember that – I forget what – it was some kind of international all-star game. And remember David Wilson gave that fiery speech before the game. That was all over YouTube. And it was really a great speech to get his team going. So maybe he has it in him to be that guy.
Got to produce on the field before you can step up and do something.
And
like
he's only
that
a second-year player.
So we'll see.
Right.
Maybe at some point. But right now, you know, you're asking me who's got the fire on offense. And quite honestly, John, I think that's part of what was missing with this team last season. Even though Bradshaw tried to do some of that when Jacobs left, he really couldn't do it.
Fire's overrated, I think.
I'm not so sure. I mean, it's one of the reasons that Tom Coughlin was a big Bradshaw fan and one of the reasons why he always loved him on Sunday, even though he couldn't practice during the week, because Bradshaw did try to give you 3 yards even though there was nothing there. He tried to add that extra punch, tried to add that extra spark, and occasionally last year when he was healthy enough to actually make something out of nothing and make a big play, you could see the team would get riled up, but it didn't happen often enough. And that's part of the problem I see right now, and that's this whole chemistry question that I have with all these new parts in here. Is there somebody that's going to be able to step up and do it? Look, I know Jeremy Shockey was not a great guy. I know there are a lot of people who did not like him. There are a lot of people in this locker room that did not like him. But there's one thing I will tell you about Jeremy Shockey. The guy had fire coming out of his nostrils. And there were times that despite the fact that guys didn't like him, when he went downfield and he stiff-armed the safety, he ran over a cornerback, he went nose-to-nose with a linebacker, somebody would rip his helmet off and he'd still fight for 5 more yards. It had an impact on this team. So, yeah, where's it coming from? I don't know right now, John. I really don't know.
You got anything else, Frank?
Yeah, and I know you said, you know, we're better than the 9. I think we are better than the 9-17. If you look at guys last year that just had down seasons, I know, Paul, you're a big fan of Webster. I mean, we won 2 Super Bowls with the guy as cornerback. I think everybody needs to relax with Webster. He had an off year, and I think we'll be fine. No one in the division has gotten any better, and I think we could win anywhere from 10 to 12 games next year.
Well, you know, Frank, in honesty, and thanks for the call, you can listen off the air. I can't say this team's better than 9-7 right now. They've won 9 games 2 years in a row.
We don't know enough.
Are they that much improved talent-wise that you know they're going to win more than 9 games? I don't. Their schedule's a little bit easier. That'll help.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. It's not as easy as people think it is either.
Well, it never is. Sometimes it's more difficult than even you think it is. But I will say this, John. I need to see the draft. I need to see rookie minicamp. As you know, I always have my keen eye out on these guys when they get here for rookie minicamp. I need to see some of these veterans who've been brought in. I need to see what they look like. I need to see training camp. I can't wait till August. Let me put it to you that way, folks.
And you'll get to be at every practice now, too, since it's
not
up in Albany.
I'm psyched. I'm very psyched. That's very cool. Very cool. Well, it was like 2 years ago.
It's going to be like Paulie out there with his pad.
Two years ago.
That's yellow legal pad.
That's what it was like 2 years ago. You know, with all the lockout stuff going on, we had the shortened training camp here, and I was able to really get my handle on that team, and I enjoyed that.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Tom in New York. Tom, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Tom?
I just got a quick question regarding, do you see us addressing a running back issue at all? I mean, I know that we got David Wilson, and he should be a good player, but I feel like we need a bigger threat back there.
Well, Tom, what I'll say is that I think if they're going to pick a running back in the draft, it'll be a later round pick in, you know, the 5th, 6th, or 7th round. That's number one. Number two, I still believe there's a good opportunity after the draft that the Giants bring in a running back that's a veteran that has some experience to give some backup to David Wilson and Andre Brown. I know they have Ryan Terrainier, but he's coming off an injury-plagued year. I'm not sure if he's the answer there. I still think there's a decent chance to see the Giants bring in a veteran running back. And you know what? I still think there's a chance that guy could still be Ahmad Bradshaw, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
really?
I think there's certainly a chance that Bradshaw could be back. It will depend on, A, if he gets a decent enough offer that he jumps at.
Because if he's back, it's on a veteran's minimum type of deal.
Right. And it's because, A, he's healthy enough, and, B, nobody else put cash in his hand.
Right.
Now, you know, he went out to Pittsburgh the other day, took a physical. They said, okay, you know what? You look like you're pretty good, but we're not offering you a deal.
We're a little concerned that there's more metal on your foot at this point than actual bone.
I mean, that's cold, John. That is cold.
But it might be true.
But, all right, but there was no cash in hand. You see
right.
what I mean?
Correct.
If Ahmad Bradshaw has somebody put a contract and a pen in front of him and say, hey, this is a guaranteed deal. You got it. You know what? Chances are he's probably going to take it. Why wouldn't he?
Look what Jacobs did when he went to the 49ers.
Okay. So don't discount that Bradshaw could be back, but at the same time, circumstances are going to have to be right for him to come back.
But do you think they will bring in a veteran running back after the draft at some point?
Yes.
To compliment.
Yes, I do.
And I think it has to be a bigger physical back, too, because I'm not sure if you know that Andre Brown can stand up for a full season. He's never proven it. David Wilson has never proven he can stand up and hold up for a full NFL season. And frankly, Ryan Terrain hasn't really done it for a full season either. So there you go.
Well, the other thing you have to remember here, too, I don't think Darrell Scott is part of this equation, quite frankly. I don't think he makes the team.
He's on the roster, though.
You know, he's on the roster right now, but he's a bubble guy, and he's a small guy, and he's a speed guy. Doesn't fit what you're asking for.
Right.
Tim Hightower is a guy who they've talked about and certainly has been rumored here to be visiting the time, et cetera, because he's another one of those pluggers. Bottom line is this. The Giants right now are unproven at running back. No matter what anybody thinks about David Wilson and how great he could be, and even though Ryan Terrain did have a 700-yard season with the Washington Redskins a few years ago, you have to say the Giants are unproven at running back. They
right.
have some numbers. Mm-hmm. But nothing guaranteed to work. Therefore, yes, I believe they will bring a veteran in sometime later on this summer, maybe even sooner than that. And that'll kind of be the insurance policy, for lack of a better term, to kind of make sure that things go well when the season starts. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be totally shocked if Brandon Jacobs comes back. I really wouldn't. Because he's a guy who would probably come in for the minimum and fits the power back that you're asking for, John. He's certainly different than the other guys who are in this backfield now.
You got anything else, Tone?
Well, I was just going to say, with the lack of running game, we got nothing else. They're not scared of anything. We can't do a play-action pass, so I think we need something back there. So that was it.
All right, Tom, appreciate the call, man.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Take it easy. 201-939-4513. Our good buddy Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's up, pal?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right, Len.
Hey, Len.
Good. Paul, good to talk to you.
You too.
Listen, I like these signings. I think they've done a nice job. I don't want to go overboard with raving about these guys, but I like the fact that we got those 4 to 8 year veterans. I think John knows the way I feel about this. I think the bulk of your 53 has got to be in that 4 to 8 range if you're going to go deep into the playoffs. And I think the Giants are working their way in that direction. But just kind of an overview on this, another feeling that I have, you're not going to beat the Eagles, even the Eagles, with ex-Eagles guys playing a prominent part in your game plan. You got to get guys that are better than what the Eagles have left. So I like Patterson. I like Jenkins. These are tough guys. A little on the small side, though. I hate to say 300 pounds is small, but, I want bulk in the middle of that defensive line. John, you've heard me say this before, but that's why I'm hoping Sean Rogers works out. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I want that 350-pounder in the middle of that line, and I want the 320 Linville Joseph next to him. I wish these guys all had 20 or 25 more pounds. And John, you know where I'm coming from on this. Sylvester Williams from North Carolina, 320. If we got a shot at Williams, if we think we got the right offensive right tackle worked out, let's take a look at Sylvester. I want to get big in the middle of that defensive line. I want to punish the offensive line next year on the opposition. And before I forget, hey, big thank you, Dominic Hickson, OC, Chase Blackburn. Blackburn, amazing, Paul. The guy's played 8 years. If he lives out this contract with Carolina, an undrafted free agent other than a long snapper or a punter lasting 10 years, it's unheard of. This guy had something. He had something. This guy hung around for 8, and he's probably going to hang around the NFL for 10 years. Big thank you to Chase. What a play in the Super Bowl. I couldn't believe Chase Blackburn 40 yards down the field running with Gronkowski. Okay, the ball's a little underthrown, but who came up with the ball? Chase Blackburn. Hey, Paul, OC, one of the 4 best defensive ends ever in the history of the Giants. I got him in my top 4. I'm going to miss number 72. If we don't have that offensive right tackle on the roster now, if it isn't a guy who's going to last 3 or 4 years, we got to look at Fluker from Alabama. We got to solve that problem first. Unless Cooper or Womack are still there, and I don't think they're going to be.
No.
I'm looking at Fluker.
Ben, appreciate
it, my
friend.
Guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, bud. Okay. He's right. Chase Blackburn for 10 years, that's pretty darn. Not just an undrafted free agent, by the way. Last guy invited to OTAs, mm-hmm. lasting 10 years mm-hmm. in the NFL, and being a starter for some of them. 2 Super Bowl rings. Pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He mentioned Dominic Hickson, too, and yeah. I don't want to let the show go any further without talking about him.
I'm not sure if it's official yet, but it looks like he's on his way to Carolina.
A pro's pro. I mean, I can't say enough about him.
Good player, better guy.
Yes, and a guy who came back from 2 ACL surgeries to be able to play in this league and now get himself a free agent deal in Carolina. Cannot say enough about him. Was willing to do everything and anything. You want me to play X, Y, Z, return kicks, doesn't matter. I'll do it. I'll be a gunner if you want. A really, really quality guy, and so happy for him that he was able to have a good Giants career, enjoy the fruits of a Super Bowl championship, and now he's able to cash in a little bit and get a deal.
Dave
down in
Gettleman
Carolina.
Just gathering former yeah. Giants, the guys that he knows know how to win.
No question. Now, I do want to take exception to Len, and he's going to have to call next time I have an opportunity to be on the program because he is so wrong about OC Umanura. I'm a huge OC Umanura fan.
Not top 4?
How can you? Jim Cadcavage, Andy Robustelli, Michael Strahan, George Martin, Jack Gregory. Right there. I just gave you 5.
Jack Gregory, you think?
Jack Gregory was a force. Unofficially, he had 20-plus sacks in 72 when he was an All-Pro. Well, that's because nobody keeps official stat numbers back then. That only became an official stat in 81. You go back into the early 70s, Gregory had almost 24 sacks in 72 for the Giants. He was an absolute monster on some horrible teams. No. Right there, those 5 guys, you can't put OC in the top 4.
Give me again what he got.
Robustelli and Cadcavage, I mean, come on.
How about
you kidding me?
How about Leonard Marshall?
Leonard Marshall, he'd also have to be.
I think Leonard and OC are close.
OC more of an impact player because OC was involved in many more turnovers. You know, OC with the strip, the forced fumbles.
I can't argue that.
More of an impact player in that regard. But you know what? Leonard Marshall, 1 year, was NFL Defensive Lineman of the Year.
Also, I think a better two-way player. Better against the run than OC.
No question. But, you know, if you want to take OC over Leonard, that's like apples and oranges. You know, that's kind of – they're a little bit of a different style, but similar in terms of talent and quality. But these other fellas, there's no way I'm putting them ahead of Gregory Strahan, George Martin, Cat Cavage, or Robustelli. I'm not doing it.
Cat Cavage and Robustelli ahead of OC, huh? Both of them?
You have to. You have to.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Vic up in Connecticut. Vic, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Paul.
Oh, hey, Vic.
Hi.
It must be the birds are singing here in the Northeast and Paul's on the show. I think we're getting closer.
You know, I'm so disappointed. No disrespect intended, but I heard Vic was coming on. I'm thinking of Cruz.
Oh, well, it is Victor. How are you, Paul?
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, except my salary is not around even the 2.8 tender, so I think I'm going to back off on that.
I got you.
I agree with Paul. Just a couple comments and a question. The linebacker from Notre Dame, Teo, there. I'm not feeling him. I think there's some other options that the Giants will be looking at. So I hope Paul's right on that.
Well, let me just say one thing to you. I will add this, and it's important that you understand this. I just don't think he's good for what the Giants have, the system that they want to run, and the division that they play in. You know, you were talking earlier, John, with one of the callers about getting bigger and bulkier along the defensive front. You know, that's a problem with Dan Connor, who's a smaller, quicker linebacker. You know, if teams are allowed to get to the second level, Dan Connor may not be making a whole lot of plays either. I mean, the Giants are not built right now to plug things up on the interior so that the linebackers are going to be able to make plays. Right now, that line's a little on the smaller side. Right. So, you know, Dan Connor's impact may be lessened compared to what you think he might be able to do too.
Go ahead, Vic.
Well, my hope is that with Rodgers and Linville Joseph, that maybe there's enough bulk up there where we can get some of these guys like Connor and Jaquan Williams to kind of run to the ball and make a tackle. So maybe, I know they're not huge up front, but maybe some speed will help out a little bit. But in terms of, you know, and Jacobs, I hope that he doesn't come back. I don't like the drama, to be honest with him, what he brings to the table. But as far as leadership is concerned, yeah, you know, offensively we've got a little bit of a void there. So maybe it becomes a little bit of leadership by committee. Defensively, there's some guys. There's Tuck. He's in his contract year with a little off year last year, and Antrell Roll has been known to speak up on occasion. So hopefully, you know, and I agree with John. You know, I think the changes that were made are really good for the locker room. I think there's some new blood in there, and I think that's going to be really helpful. I think, you know, in terms of free agency, I think they actually upgraded. I think that Ryan Monday's a little bit of an upgrade to always hurt Kenny Phillips. Jenkins maybe a push or maybe even a little bit better with Campy. So I think they did really good there. Just a couple questions for you guys. Number one, Corey Webster was scheduled to make around $7, $8 million this year and took a pay cut. Last time I looked at the site, he shows it like $1.5 million. Did he take that much of a pay cut? Is there some signing bonus and bonus money in there?
Money was shifted around, and I think he wound up coming in at somewhere around $3.5 or $4 million his salary.
That's his base salary that you have listed there. There's some additional bonus money, I think, that doesn't count towards the season that's sitting there.
He came out roughly, I believe, to what amounts to a 50% reduction by the time everything is all said and done.
And I'm glad that they came to terms because there are some Webster bashers out there, but I think he's a good, solid cornerback. I think he always has been. He's had some ups and downs, so I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he saved us some money. The other question I had for you is, and it was just a blip on the internet today, but that the Giants are entertaining bringing Julian Edelman in from the Patriots. And I always kind of liked the guy up there as a kick returner and as a maybe a fourth wide receiver. Do you see him benefiting the Giants at all if they could maybe get him on the cheap and brought him in to maybe replace Hickson for kick returns and David Wilson for punt returns and David Wilson for kickoff returns?
Well, John and I were talking about him earlier. I think obviously it depends on how much money he wants and what kind of deal he's going to get. If he gets a one-year veteran minimum, it probably doesn't hurt to bring him in. You would think that would probably spell the end of Jernigan, or at least put Jernigan on notice that in training camp, he's going to have to win a spot. It's not going to be granted to him because Edelman would do a lot of what Jernigan was brought here to do.
Yeah, and I agree. And Jernigan hasn't done a real lot except for special teams. And if I remember correctly, I think Edelman even played a little defense up in New England.
Yeah, so. I don't think I'd put much stock in that, though. That's not why they're bringing him here.
Well, I don't think we'll replace Corey Webster with him. But it's good to talk to you, Paul. Good back on the show, John, as always. And I'll just go off saying that my pick is Fluker at offensive tackle. I think he's Kareem McKenzie for the next 9 years, and the Giants are 10-6. And we'll see what happens. This show's recorded, so I'm on record.
Thanks, Vic. Appreciate it, Paul.
He's been reading my Twitter page. He knows I'm a big Fluker guy.
Well, he's got the size, man. With 6'6", 340?
John.
He's a big fella.
If I'm on the phone to Radio City, is it Radio City this year again? If I'm on the phone to Radio City from the Timex Center at 19, Fluker's the guy, hands down.
If Paul got to sit in the draft room, by what pick would he get so annoying that they would throw him out? What, three?
It's a dream. It's a dream that'll never happen.
I'm wondering,
it's a dream that'll never happen.
I'm trying to figure out which guy in the draft I think would snap first and just get you out of there. Like, you know, Jerry's very nice, and so is Mark. They're soft-spoken. It might be Coach. Coach just be like, Paul, I've had enough of you. Get out of here. I think it would be Coach that would throw you out first.
Yeah, it would take Tom about 10 seconds.
All right, back to our phones. We have two left on the program. Abe's in California. Abe, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Hey, good morning, guys. I wanted to join in with a discussion concerning Matty Teo.
Okay.
You know, I'm a California boy, and I'm going to have to side with Paul on this issue. You know, character and integrity speak volumes. And, you know, the guy came out to the Columbine with a trainer and everything, and he just didn't show up. Had lots of excuses. You know, wait for my pro day, I'll show up. Well, you know, I don't think he's going to be, quite honestly, a good fit, as Paul said, for the Giants. And just the things that we hear out in California, you know, I think we really need to stay away from this kind of ball player. I don't think he'll be the best fit for the team. My question is this. What transpired throughout last season that we were so poor on the small things, like tackling, communication? Wilson's a speed guy. We all know that. But he was impatient for his blockers. You know, I was going back to watching the Philadelphia game towards the end of the season last year. So what can we do to improve these issues?
Well, you're asking a lot of questions there. It would take us an hour to probably answer all of them, but I'll just get to the last one. Wilson was a rookie last season, and he was trying to grow into the spot, and he didn't exactly get a whole ton of reps in the backfield. He was a kick returner. That was his job. So, you know, all I can say to you is this. Whatever you saw of David Wilson in the preseason is probably more along the lines of what you can expect from him in year two. Don't think about the small flashes that he might have had during the regular season, because we all know after he had the fumble early in the year, Tom put him in the doghouse. Then he had trouble learning the pass pro, and so that was an issue. And so, you know, he had a lot of things going on mentally that go on with a young rookie. And so, you know, I'm sure that he was rather inhibited in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I mean, I still think David Wilson's going to be a real star in this league for a long time to come, but he's got to grow into the spot. The one thing I do want to mention, John, and it's something you guys may or may not have talked about at all on any of the other shows, you know, Tim McDonald, Wellington Mara's grandson, mm-hmm. who – was at Notre Dame for many years on that staff, is now part of the New York Giants in the personnel department.
Family connection. He's someone that is one of those guys that's really ingrained in football, so he could become a bigger and bigger part of this organization as the years go by.
I don't think there's any doubt about it, and I've known him since he was oh so high, okay? So, yeah, I know him well, and I know how much he lives and breathes football.
So the bright side is that he knows to avoid you now that he's back with the organization.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's a real X's and O's, yes. Old school football guy.
No question.
He's one of those throwbacks from Maritech of years gone by. My point is this. He spent, what, 6, 7, 8 years at Notre Dame on that staff. Okay? If the Giants should take, for example, Eifert at tight end, or if they should take Teo at linebacker, you know. They know everything that there is to know about those players, and they are 2,000% sure that those guys are going to work out, because there's nobody in the NFL who probably knows those guys better than Tim does.
And I did hear, by the way, that Teo did interview extremely well at the combine.
Yeah, well,
like on a rank of 1 to 10, he was getting like 15.
Very personable, no question.
And, and I think he's a football guy, too. I think he's a guy that really does love playing the game, and that's what he is 100% focused on. I don't think that's going to be an issue with him.
No.
I think the only issue is whether or not you think physically he's good enough as an athlete to succeed at the NFL level. I think that's the question with him.
And, you know, maybe in certain systems, on certain teams, against certain players in certain divisions, he will have more success than in other spots.
Right.
I just don't see him being a good fit here. And that is aside from all of the other hype and garbage that happened before the combine that, quite frankly, I don't want any part of. Because right. We have enough of media hype here in New York without dealing with that.
And I want to go back to a couple of the first few points that Abe had. We still have Dave in Rochester online. Dave, we'll get to you in just a second. But, you know, Abe asked how on the Giants correct some of the small things that they've done wrong over the last couple of years. And he mentioned a few of them, communication, tackling, and I'll throw in stopping the run into that mix too from last year. And I think the tackling and the stopping the run kind of go into the same boat there. How do you go about fixing that? Do you think that has a lot to do with some of the personnel changes on defense especially, that they were just tired of some of these guys on defense just not doing the right things fundamentally that they needed to do for the Giants to be sound? Because really the Giants, they made some big plays, but they were not a sound, fundamental defense the last couple of years. Big plays, missed assignments, bad tackling. How do you fix that?
John, I think, you know, if you were to talk to Carl Banks, if he was sitting here with you today, he would say that almost 30 out of 32 teams could probably say the same thing. How many teams in the NFL today really, truly, are consistently clean on defense? That is fundamentally sound, smart plays all the time, wrapping up, making the hits, making the tackles that you're supposed to make. The league has really digressed.
I agree.
And the Giants are just typical of that digression.
Well, but they've been in the bottom five in terms of defense the last 2 years because of those problems.
And I hate to say this because a billion people will want to light up the phone lines and say you can't do it.
Oh, don't do it.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I really believe. That part of the biggest part of the issue here is the availability of certain guys. That the injuries at certain spots were crippling. Kenny Phillips was supposed to be a very big part of this defense. A very, very big part. And, of course, what happened? His career went way south because of the knee injuries. Osiu Manura was going to be a very big part of this defense. He got hurt 2 years ago. Last year, he was not the same.
Terrell
Thomas missed 2 years. He was going to be a big part of this defense. Jaquan Williams last year. I talked to Perry Fuel before the season last year. He told me how important Jaquan Williams was going to be because of his versatility and in their, you know, sub-packages. He was going to be a huge part of what they wanted to do. And what happened? They lost him for half the season because of an injury. So it wasn't even the amount of injuries the Giants had, which were, by the way, rather large, but it was to guys who they were really counting on to be kind of like the building blocks or the cement portions of their D. That had a lot to do with what went on, John. I hate using injuries as an excuse. Coaches hate to do that. Tom's never going to do that. I appreciate his sentiments.
See, this is why you're getting tossed out of the draft room.
Well, I mean, it does play a part. Anybody who denies what Kenny Phillips was supposed to be, or denies what Terrell Thomas was before he got hurt.
That being said, Paul, every team also has injuries. The Giants are not the only team dealing with injuries, too.
Well, they do. And what it comes down to is this, John.
I mean, for example.
It's the amount of injuries you have,
example,
but then who it is that got hurt and who has to step in.
Well, did anybody suffer? I mean, the Redskins lost their number one pass rusher last year. They lost
their pass rush was terrible, though.
Well, that's the thing, but they lost two of their best defensive players. You know, RG3 was banged up at the end of the season. They had all sorts of injuries on the offensive line as well, but they still managed to fight through those injuries and win the division.
Well, they found ways to work around those problems. The Giants weren't able to. They kept trying to find ways to work around them, and every time they did, something else went wrong and they couldn't do it. I mean, you're right. Other teams were able to work around and adapt better to things that hit them. But that doesn't ignore the fact or does not camouflage the fact that the Giants had a whole bunch of issues and they just weren't able to work around them as well. That's all.
Now, well, we're going to go back to our phones here. There's no bigger Paul Dottino fan out there than Dave in Rochester. He's always hampering for Paul to be on the show.
Is he?
Now, last time you were on, Dave called in, and his quote to me was that, "I was so excited that I choked." And he was very disappointed with the quality of his call when he called in to when you hosted the show.
Are you serious?
Yes, I kid you not. So we're going to give him another shot here, and we're going to go to Dave in Rochester. And Dave, I hope you can redeem yourself today.
Well, I hope so, Mr. Dottino. That is a true story. I did choke last time. You made me a little nervous.
Oh, come on now, Dave. Now, let's see. The show I did a couple of weeks ago, it was the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament, and we had some fun that day, John.
Yeah.
I put out a question to everybody. I wanted to know if you looked at the Giants roster and how to pick five starting basketball players off the Giants roster.
I heard you left Tuck off that roster, by the way. Big mistake.
Who would your five be? And then I had two reserves. I had Tuck coming off the bench.
Oh, okay.
He was one of my reserves. My big mistake was I left Victor Cruz off the roster. I did not know he played AAU ball with J.R. Smith.
How about Kiwanuka? Did you have him on
the
roster?
I had Kiwi.
You had him
there.
At center?
No, I had JPP at center. I liked his reach.
All right, that's fine.
Like his shot blocking ability,
okay.
Right?
That's fair. I can argue that.
Anyway, Dave, but that was a fun show because, you know, we went a little off the beaten path. So I don't remember how you fumbled your call away. So why did you just put that behind you and start afresh?
Well, I am going to start afresh because Johnny and Lance invited everybody that listens to the show over to your house for a draft party.
So, oh, did they really? Well, that's pretty funny since I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be at the Timex Center.
Why do you think everyone wants to go to your house?
Okay.
But I kind of want to get your point, Mr. Dottino, on what Len said and to kind of go what you just talked about Kenny Phillips. And, Johnny, you had said that since the draft is full of defensive players and there's some attractive defensive tackles in there, what does that say if we do go after a defensive tackle because we go for the strongest player at our number? What does that say to the guys that we just acquired from the Eagles? I mean, is it possible? And then number two, Ryan Monday, how did we fill that spot with Kenny Phillips? It looks like over his 4 years, he only averages about 15 tackles.
Well, Monday was a backup with Pittsburgh, and quite honestly, when he did get into the starting lineup because of injuries, Polamalu obviously missed a lot of time, he didn't do so well.
To me, he's a special teams guy.
He's more a special teams guy than he is a secondary guy. There's no question about that.
I think you're looking at Stevie Brown and roll at safety if the season started tomorrow. I think that's what you're looking at, with Will Hill having a chance to compete for one of those spots.
Yeah, and Will Hill, quite frankly, would be the next guy off the bench ahead of Monday, I believe.
I agree.
I'd be very surprised if Hill loses that spot.
And Tyler Sash still in the mix, too.
Perhaps. I don't know how much he's in the mix. But here's
he's
what
on the roster. I can tell you he's in the mix.
Okay, he's
bit.
On the roster. Okay, that's good enough. But Dave, to your point about the defensive tackles, they did – Patterson, I'm guessing. I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers. I'm guessing he got the minimum.
It can't be much more than
you
that.
You know, so, you know, if for whatever reason he comes to camp and let's say the Giants do draft a defensive tackle in the first or second round and they show better than Patterson – then you would think the Giants will just go with the young guy and Patterson will be out of a job. At the same time, if Sean Rogers winds up coming to camp and proves that he can't do the job anymore because he's either got the medical issues with the blood problem or he's just too overweight and can't stay healthy and pulls a hamstring and they got to get rid of him. I mean, I think John's got a valid point, and so do you if you're going to tell me, you know what, defensive tackle might still be a possibility on their draft board because depth is a potential concern. I don't think any of the guys the Giants have outside of Linval Joseph and maybe Jenkins are bona fide, proven, hey, we know for sure that this guy's going to be a big part of our defensive line rotation. I don't know you can say that about anybody else. Even Coon coming off a knee surgery, you can't say for sure that he's going to be good for 20 plays a game. How do you know?
If there's two guys up at number 19, both the same level of expertise, are we picking defensive end or defensive tackle? Or backfield, any backfield, cornerback,
well,
safety, anything?
Dave, I'm picking right tackle. I told you, I'm taking Fluker.
Take right. Offensive line out of the equation. On defense, what position
right.
are you going?
Not including linebacker, I'm going to say, because we talked about that.
Okay.
I'm taking Ogletree if he's on the board. If right tackle is off the board, I'm taking Ogletree at 19.
How about defensive backfield or D-line?
Now you're going too deep on me. I want Fluker or I want Ogletree at that spot.
Those are your top two priorities, offensive line and linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's where you got to go then.
Dave, great. Dave, I think you rebounded well. I think you had a top-quality call.
Well, I also, Mr. Tino, thanks again. Johnny, thanks. Talk to you guys later.
Hi, Dave.
Take it easy.
I'm glad he's better now. That's important.
Well, every time Dave calls in, you know, Dave likes to bust on you a little bit.
That's okay.
He loves talking about your power walks.
Well, yeah, I didn't go on one yet today. I had to get down here.
He likes to visualize what you do on your power walks. Like, sometimes he thinks you have like, the iPad in front of you watching your game film as you are power walking. Other times he thinks you're listening to, like, NPR or Sirius NFL Radio. And other times he thinks you just talk to everybody as you walk past them.
Well, Dave, I do talk to a lot of people because a lot of people see me on the avenue and they say hi and this and that. So that does happen. I have a Samsung Blaze 4G phone.
You aren't getting any money out of them for mentioning that.
No, right? I'm not looking to.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Here's my point. I get a lot of people who Twitter me and ask, how is it that you answer all the questions while you're doing your power walks? But to be honest, the screen on this thing is pretty good. Now, I do make typos. There's no question I get caught with some typos during the course of my walks.
I just thought you couldn't spell.
But I am able to rather effectively, answer as many Giants questions as I possibly can during a number of my walks. Usually I do. Occasionally I'm just like in a zone and I won't. But for the most part, I do try to answer as many Twitter questions as possible on my page during my power walks. It's a good thing to do. Why not?
Well, I have a bunch of Twitter questions on hashtag Giants chat here.
Let's
go through them a little bit here.
Sure.
All right, let's see. Christian Delgado, you'll like this one, feels the Giants for the first time since 99 has taken O lineman in the first round. Take DJ Fluker. Thinks he's a starter for about a decade with Pro Bowl talent.
Yep, I'm with you.
Let's see. Mike Farmer writes in, Patterson signing tells me Giants are highly questioning how much Sean Rogers can really contribute. I hope he can.
So do the Giants.
I think they're kind of just hedging their bets in that regard, though. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they brought him in last year anticipating he would be part of that rotation, and they never expected to have to put him on IR like they did because of the blood problem.
Here we go. Mike Farmer adds to that, considering the Giants signings, he does not want to use a first-round pick on Sylvester Williams. That'll make Lennon Maryland upset.
Yeah, well.
Brian Taylor writes in, likes that they're looking at Julian Edelman, thinking he'd be a useful player. David Goldstein signed Cruz. And by the way, we went through a whole show without talking about Victor Cruz.
What's there to say?
Agreed. Finally, and I left this one for last because I know you're going to be very excited about this.
Uh-oh.
One. Steve Asinata. Giants need to add some veteran players.
Yes.
How about Chad Ochocinco or Terrell Owens?
No, he did not. He did not.
Bam!
He posted that?
Yeah, he did. Hashtag Giants chat.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you got?
Absolutely nothing. There's no way in the heck I'm touching either one of those guys. Keep them as far away from the Timex Center as possible. And besides, to be honest with you, I'm really curious to see what this wide receiving core is going to look like, provided Cruz comes back with Nicks and Murphy's got some good speed, and obviously Reuben Randall's going
to
be in his second year.
I'm very excited.
You know how I feel about him.
And I feel good about him, too. I'm very excited to see Reuben Randall in year number two to see if the mental part of his game has really caught up to the physical part of his game. Because if it has, he could be very good.
John, he's got really good skills. Really good skills. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jerry Reese said he was pro-ready coming out of the draft, that's what he was referring to. His skill set was pro-ready. Obviously, the maturity level is something that every rookie has to struggle with and fight through.
And he did.
As they become an NFL player.
Right.
So I'm really, really, really anxious to look at him. In fact, it's funny we mentioned Reuben Randall because I just went through my cut-up reel as I'm redoing my demo DVDs, and I went through the Giants-Jacksonville game that I was lucky enough to do last year for Channel 9. And Reuben Randall makes a touchdown catch in that game. In fact, it's the last touchdown of the game. It's a perilous throw to the left corner of the end zone, and Randall reaches up and climbs the stairs and hauls it in.
Yep.
It is exactly the kind of play that could make him a very dangerous wide receiver in this league. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, his name comes up now because that's exactly the kind of stuff that I see coming out of him over the course of the next 5 or 6 years.
Got a couple other questions coming in real quick, Paul. Giants still need a Sam linebacker. This is Marwan Ali. How does Darryl Smith sound as a veteran free agent?
The only thing I would say there is that I think the Giants are doing their best to get younger and quicker at the position.
I agree.
Therefore, he probably doesn't fit the profile.
They agreed.
You know,
Kunal Shah writes in, don't forget Linval Joseph, a free agent after this season. So the Giants might be trying to hedge their bets at defensive tackle as well.
Well, you know, they're going to have to deal with JPP.
He's after next year.
Right. But
he was a first-round pick, five-year deal. Linval, four-year contract, second year, second-round draft pick. So he's a free agent after this season.
Nix and Linval are going to be coming up at the end of this year.
Priority one and priority two, assuming Victor Cruz signs a long-term deal. Now, if he plays under the tender, all of a sudden you have three huge priorities next year in free agency.
And then, of course, you still have a franchise tag if you want to use it on somebody.
True. And, of course, like you said, you have JPP coming up the year after that.
But and Tuck is coming up this year, too.
He is.
You know, he's going to have to rebound if he thinks he's going to be able to re-sign here. The other thing, though, in terms of who did I just mention a year ago? You said he's another year down the road.
JPP.
JPP is the kind of guy who, if he does really, really well this year, I could see them maybe trying to extend him and not necessarily go into the final year of his deal. Pass rushers are such a premium. They are so important to Jerry Reese. He clearly values them much higher than many other positions. So I wouldn't be shocked if maybe something gets done with him, too, if he has a Pro Bowl caliber season.
I have one more that just came in from Trina. Everyone is sleeping on Ruben Randall, but quote me on this, Victor Cruz who?
Wow!
That's confidence in Ruben Randall.
Wow!
The only problem is that Randall and Nix play the same position, and neither one of those guys can play in the slot. That's the only issue you have with that.
Victor Cruz who?
Likes Ruben Randall. I've heard a lot of...
Huge Ruben Randall
I've
fan.
I've heard a decent amount of Giant fans come from that direction, where you don't want to overpay Victor Cruz because you think Akeem Nix is the better all-around wide receiver, and I think you're in that boat if both guys are healthy,
which is fine. That's an argument
that's easy to make. But they like the Nix-Randall combination, Randall playing under that rookie contract for a couple more years and not giving Victor Cruz, you know, the big Greg Jennings-style contract. I've seen that around. Giant fans are like, give Victor Cruz whatever he wants. I don't care what he wants. Give it to him. You can't do that either.
Let's play hypothetical for just a minute here, John, because we haven't really talked.
We have 2 minutes left in the show.
And we haven't really talked about Victor Cruz.
Correct.
Let's for a second say Victor Cruz decides he's not going to play here. He's not going to sign the tender, and I don't think this is going to happen. But Victor Cruz doesn't want to sign the tender. He says, that's it. I'm holding out for a season. Go ahead and trade me. Do whatever you want. I'm not coming back here. I don't like the deal. Now, this is not going to happen. But if it did, now you're going to be stuck with Nix, Randall, and Murphy are your top three wide receivers. Gerald Jernigan is in the mix, too. I mean, you know what? It's not nearly as an accomplished receiving core, obviously. Who is the key slot guy in that package? I don't know. It does cause quite a problem, to be frank with you.
Well, and of course, the rumors around, and there are reports that Julian Edelman might be visiting the Giants, so that could be a potential answer there.
Maybe. You know, I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen really enough of him as a receiver to necessarily feel that good about it.
I agree. And he's really, he's Danny Amendola small. He's a tiny guy.
Yeah, he is. So, you know, one thing I will say to everybody who is turned off by the whole financial back and forth that the Giants have had to deal with on Cruz, the one thing I will say, before you're so quick to turn your back on him, and despite the fact that I still think that when healthy, Hakeem Nix is a higher priority, let me make this very, very clear. I think Victor Cruz is a very important part of this team, and I would hate to see the Giants without him. I mean that wholeheartedly.
Final question for you before we say goodbye.
Sure.
This has to be a yes or no answer.
Okay.
On April 15th, when the Giants players report back to the Timex Performance Center for their offseason program, will Victor Cruz be in attendance?
Yes.
Excellent job, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
All right, excellent job on the calls, on the tweets. We had a lot of fun. Went a full hour. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to try to get a Giants beat guy on tomorrow. I know I've had a couple requests for Vacchiano for the Daily News. I'll give him a call, see if he wants to come on. Give us a few minutes, talk draft, talk Giants offseason. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thank you to Mr. Tino. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every weekday morning at 10 o'clock on Giants.com. We'll see you tomorrow morning.